Katie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
When people think of English as a second language education, they may first picture the student in the classroom learning in a language that isn't their first language. But a lot of this story really focuses on the communication between the school and the family. Describe the challenges that parents and teachers run up against when they're trying to communicate.
The opening part of my story talks about a family, Ramon Leon, and he's a really good math mind, a father. So he's helping his third grade son with math problems. When they get to story problems, his son has to translate the verbal part of the story, the narrative, so that they can do the actual math involved. And then every night, like most school parents, he has to sign a calendar saying that he helped him do his homework. On nights that he can't understand, like a grammatical assignment or something, he will write no entiendo, which is Spanish for I don't understand. And in this story, he tells me that the notes he receives in return from the teacher are in English.
Now, is someone like Mr. Ramon supposed to be able to communicate with the school in Spanish?
By federal law, schools are supposed to communicate with non-English-speaking parents as well as they do with those who speak English.
And the increase in especially Spanish-speaking students and families has been something that schools are learning to deal with. There's been a big increase there. Tell me what you learned about that.
I think schools just didn't anticipate that. There was some sense after the storm that there would be an increase in Latino kids coming in, but it doesn't seem like that happened immediately, that it took a little bit for maybe workers to settle here with their kids and enroll them in school here. I would say that from talking to schools anecdotally, that this year has been a really big year for Spanish-speaking kids coming in.
Yeah, you cite 5,000 new Hispanic residents who've settled with their families and that the number of students with limited English skills has tripled in New Orleans public schools, you say, from about 440 in 2006 to about 1,200 at the start of this school year. What does the state say about this? What do the schools say about this change and their ability or plans to provide better services for these Spanish-speaking families in particular?
Well, the state isn't providing a lot of support. They will help schools figure out vendors, and they will translate applications. So the state is not doing as much as I thought maybe they would be. Each charter is sort of on their own to figure out what to do.
And to pay for it.
Right.
Last year, actually, a group attempted to address the situation. The Vietnamese American Young Leaders Association, VELA, filed a federal complaint against the schools for not providing adequate interpretation services. What kinds of things were they saying needed to be translated that by law were not being?
I mean, I've sat through in a room full of parents who would pull out sheet after sheet, sent home notes that were all in English. And so they would like regular correspondence with the school, just like every other parent. They'd like to know what's going on with the field trips so that they can understand what the meals are, because some of the children have allergies. They would like to know when the report card conferences are. And if the school is designated as failing, they'd like to be able to go to a meeting and try to figure out what to do with their child next year. There were also special ed services, notifications about that were not translated. They would receive a note home that would say confidential on the envelope, and then it would be entirely in English.
Also here, I think that highlights a sort of partnership that's developed between the Vietnamese community and the Spanish-speaking community. Where did you see evidence of those communities working together?
I saw them in rooms together talking about their issues. And VELA has sophisticated translation equipment where they have a translator translating into both language that go into earpieces. So VELA would ask how many parents have had this experience, and there would be Spanish-speaking parents and Vietnamese-speaking parents who would raise their hand and say, oh, we're the same, and they found that over and over again.
Katie Rechtal's latest reporting is on translation and interpretation services for Vietnamese and Spanish-speaking families in New Orleans schools. Katie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.